The Gulf of Mexico disaster comes at an especially bad time during spring spawning season. It's certain to impact aquatic life, says Doug Rader, chief ocean scientist for the Environmental Defense Fund.
Making them extraordinarily vulnerable to the toxic effects of the oil itself. Now, the same thing is happening with bird life migrating to and from the tropics. Those that have completed their migrations in the Gulf region are nesting or beginning to feed this year's crop of migratory birds.
As the oil shoots up from the sea floor, Rader says it has the potential to contaminate each layer of the water column.
Directly exposing those animals to toxicity at the surface, including the very sensitive surface zones where not only sea turtles and marine mammals and seabirds can be oiled, but also where the highways for fish larvae exist, and then as it rains back into the abyss over a much wider area, carrying toxicants back into the deep sea where ancient corals and other sensitive ecosystems exist.
One response strategy has been to use dispersants or antifreeze-like chemicals to break the oil up into smaller globules. Those particles mix more readily with water and sink. Rader says dispersants are being sprayed from airplanes and, for the first time, pumped directly into the deep ocean.
In this case, we do have the additional challenge of trying to guess what the effects would be of dispersants used at depth to try to begin dispersing the oil before it even gets to the surface.
Rader says it's a choice between two bad options. While the chemicals may protect birds and other wildlife by dissipating the slick before it reaches shore, their toxicity in the Gulf could harm fish and other marine life. Judith Dowell is a biologist with Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution and an expert on oil spill contamination. She says it's important to understand the nature of the oil in order to predict its ecological effects.
If a lot of it is very light material, it's going to vaporize. If a lot of it is very heavy material, it may precipitate to the bottom. In the meantime, you have these medium molecular weight compounds that are dispersing within the water column. Until you can get some very accurate measurements of the depth of the slick and the geographical extent of the slick, it's not easy to do.
Simply put, Dowell says, not enough data has been collected. The slick threatens sensitive coastal wetlands, areas critical to wildlife. Barrier islands and wetlands also serve to buffer towns on the coast from hurricanes and storm surges. Doug Rader with the Environmental Defense Fund says the spill may finally force coastal communities to put more adequate plans and safeguards in place to prevent an offshore disaster in the future.
There are thousands of wells in the Gulf. There are 35,000 miles worth of pipelines in the Gulf. It's pretty clear that the status quo in terms of investment to prevent risk and to respond to events wasn't adequate, and that some retrofitting of that entire infrastructure is necessary to be able to sustain the current level of production in the Gulf.
Rader says the time is also ripe to rethink the wisdom of offshore drilling in favor of other energy options in the face of climate change.
That going forward with a more balanced portfolio of energy sources that begins to address the global problem of warming caused by greenhouse gas emissions and threatening coastal areas like coastal Louisiana by rising seas and intensifying storms has to be a piece of the mix.
To this end, on Wednesday, Senators John Kerry and Joe Lieberman introduced long-awaited climate and energy legislation. The bill covers a broad cross-section of the nation's top environmental and energy issues, from expanded nuclear power and carbon capture and sequestration to giving states veto power over drilling within 120 kilometers offshore if, in the language of the proposed law, they stand to suffer significant adverse impacts in the event of an accident. Roseanne Skirbel, VOA News, Washington.